Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today. Joining us in the gutter slot is Clint Free Desserts Houston.
Free Dessert Face.
Yes, I think Free Dessert Desserts Face or something was what I was going for. Whatever, I forgot.
Tasty. Mm-hmm. Well, hi, hello. No, joining us in the crew slot is the Midwest Dan himself, Peterson Scrub.
Yes, such scrub. Such scrub. Hello. And joining us in the smuggling and snuggling compartment is Matt the Iron Man Carey.
Hello.
With a fancy pullover hoodie.
It is a Henley.
But it's not an ugly Henley.
I'm glad everybody remembers their jokes.
We apologize for any lack of enthusiasm here. We recorded half an episode and then realized that one of the tracks didn't record. So the first one was just a dress rehearsal, and now this is the real play.
Just sounds like we're reading our lines.
We are actually saying the same stuff. Uh-huh.
Except for this part. This part was not in the first one.
Dan doesn't have a problem with them being gray, like the same color, gray on gray, totally fine. Yep. Different colors, doesn't
ugly,
like it.
Yep.
Emily, she's a pilot of the party bus. Tara Rastel, but also Nick called her Rastel Dactyl. I thought it was funny. So we're doing this lightning round, guys. She's the Rastel Dactyl. She also gets free dessert. Dan took one bite of free dessert, so technically he got free dessert too.
Dead yet.
I'm not dead yet.
Oh.
Turns out it was fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you want more free dessert, I mean,
would take another bite of free
dessert.
There's
lots of free dessert
here. The free dessert was from two locations.
Lightning round.
we had Noodles and Company, and then there was also Five Guys Burgers and Fries. We are not reviewing Five Guys Burgers and burgers or fries or noodles. It is Rice Krispies from Noodles and Company and a peanut butter milkshake from Five Guys.
This is not an ad. They were all free.
Yeah, all of them were free. We did surveys at Noodles and Company, got free Rice Krispies treats, and then Clint
jacked them for a milkshake.
Gave a wink, wink, a nudge, nudge, and just a sweet talk the dude at Five Guys and give him a peanut butter.
I definitely sweet talked the stoner at Five Guys who just didn't feel like bringing
it. He was like, "Hey, all I want is a peanut butter milkshake," and the dude was like, "Okay, here you go."
All right, man.
All right,
caught up. We're good.
Yeah.
Electrolytes joke.
Yep.
Okay.
Electrolytes joke.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I think that was most of the nonsense that happened. It was all much more entertaining if you'd listened to the rehearsal version.
It was all way funnier. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Just laugh.
Yeah. Just believe us when we say that was all much funnier than what it sounded.
You loved it. You would have loved it,
And this is my fault, so...
Again, on brand, it's scrubby, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, this podcast will be shorter than we thought it was going to be, I guess. All right.
And we're out of time for the...
We've already recorded for like 40 minutes, so you're only getting 15 minutes.
So anyway, the real reason of this episode was to be like, well... We've been trying for like three episodes to get through telling you the story, the wonderful stories of our RPG game, whatever you want to call it. And we may finally, assuming everything records correctly this time, maybe we will finally get through telling you the rest of the story. We believe that we left off where the intrepid adventurers had made incidental contact with a drug dealer whom they convinced to allow them to do a heist to steal some drugs, which heist they then took way, way too far, resulting in a very large payload of expensive drugs and several murders on their hands.
And everybody was happy.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody was happy, but the story progressed anyway.
It was a good side quest, though. Like, mm-hmm. just off the top of my head mm-hmm. that night, I was like, okay, this is what we're doing. I just coming up with things off the top of my head, and we're just one thing after another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That all turned out to be really crazy.
Yeah. Yep. It was our first truly, like, off-the-cuff session
yeah.
that we had as a group where, like, we were all just, you know.
Well, you get the railroads have come off. You were able to choose where you wanted to go and what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And we were just coming up with things, yeah, completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we had our little freestyle session, and then we hopped back on the railroad. And so part of the reason that we had wanted to do a job to make money, which we may not have specified in the last episode, was that we felt like, okay, we've got to take this Ewing back to Saw at some point, so we need money so that when after we give the Ewing back to Saw, we can find some other means of transportation. And having done that, we were like, okay, guess we can take that Ewing back to Saw now. Turns out that was what the DM had, you know, vaguely intended us to do this whole time, you know, instead of going on an off-kilter adventure. Because when we got there and started talking to Saw, lo and behold, he told us, oh, Kit, that blue cat rabbit thing? Yeah, we picked that guy up and your ship. Yeah, so
way back when.
Yeah, like way back when you first lost your ship, you know, because the Renegades had been tracking the ship, following the ship, whatever, and so they came across our apparently dead and abandoned ship, and they were like, "Oh, okay, well."
They were tracking the Imperial transports.
Yeah.
Then.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, sorry, did I not say that? I
yeah, one of those.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, sorry. I was just. They weren't tracking your guys' ship. They were tracking the Imperial transport ship.
Oh, sorry. Did I? I said the ship. I may have said the ship.
Yeah.
It was not perhaps clear that I meant the Imperial ship. Yes. Yeah. They were tracking the Imperial ship, found our ship, and Kit is now a Renegade, it turns out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can do all the talking, or, you know, maybe you can... I
feel like I'm doing all the talking usually, so...
You're the DM, you're supposed to do all the talking. I've already done more than I did during dress rehearsal, so...
That's because you remember everything that I just said.
Exactly.
You're doing a good job. Keep going.
So, we talked to Kit, and he doesn't have the data pad that was one of the things that we need to bring back to Bargos, which was from the... our very first story arc in this entire
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dan was the DM then, mm-hmm. and so we, you know, had recovered this data pad from this mining facility that, you know, just had all the data on the finances, what went wrong with the mine, everything that was happening there.
It was all recorded onto Kit's data pad.
Yeah, it was on Kit's data pad. So we...
And all the money was in the ship, too. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so...
That's all so important.
Yeah, money. found money, ship, Kit, but not data pad. And data pad is the last thing that we need to find.
Yeah.
And Kit's like, well, you know, I got drunk with this guy. His name was Goose or Drew. I don't quite remember which...
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Hey, Goose.
So he's like, I don't know where he's at, but he has a cousin. and I know at least where a cousin is, and we can start there, you know? So,
thus began our journey through the cousin network.
The cousin network on the Wild Goose or Drew chase.
Yeah. So,
So after wrapping up, like after wrapping up with Saul, and basically agreeing to be kind of,
on call mercenaries
for him, he basically kind of wanted to like either recruit you for the, you know, to join the cause or to be mercenaries. And then you guys talked with him, cleared all that up with him. And then you guys were able to borrow the U-Wing from time to time was one of the things he also had agreed with.
Yeah, technically our ship was still disabled, but Kit was like, oh yeah, I disabled it so they couldn't just use it because I'm using it as a house right now.
Yeah, and so you guys were free and clear and able to leave the secret base on Dantooine. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we forgot about that part of the joke.
Yeah, yeah, we forgot.
Is Saw's secret rebel base on Dantooine?
And that's the base that Leia gives up at the beginning of.
It's my joke that Leia gives up to Tarkin the secret rebel base on Dantooine.
Because Saw.
Because it's Saw's.
Yeah, it's like, well, let's give him the crazy one.
That's where I decided to put Saw's base as a kind of a joke to whatever the original.
These three people here.
Yes. Yeah. Aha, these nerds will get it, and other Star Wars nerds will laugh, too.
We head off to find the first cousin.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the... Let's go find the data pad and that way we can finally go back to freaking Bargos and clear our names.
Up, yeah.
And so, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so one cousin leads us to another cousin,
The first one, the journey through the cousin network was a series of moral conundrums that we came across, and the first one was like...
And nothing conversations with the cousins, basically.
Yes.
Meaningless conversations with the cousins leading us from one to the next, but also, more importantly...
You guys get to the first cousin, he's like, last I heard, Goose was living or doing a job for my other cousin over here and send you guys over to that cousin.
Yeah. But like the first moral conundrum was like we came across as we landed this place. Well, okay. So no, the first one, there was no moral conundrum.
No. The first cousin, cousin. Second cousin, there was
At this spot, there was like when we land, we see there's just a bunch of refugees that have landed because there was the Empire attacked this moon and then this moon was fine. But like, you know, so they're trying to secure transportation and stuff like that.
Yeah, they had escaped their home world from war and disaster and were kind of stranded here. On this space station, and we're trying to get transport off, and they were talking with a transport captain, but they didn't have any money, and he's refusing to take them without money, and so there's a bunch of stranded refugees is the moral conundrum basically. Yeah.
And we were all like, "Oh, you have presented this moral conundrum, have you?"
So part of it was like, well, that's too many refugees for us.
Yeah, we can't haul them. So yeah.
Somehow it like just never occurred to us that we had lots of money.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that could be because we were used to not having money.
That's true. You know,
we just acquire our riches recently. Yeah.
But like we didn't even think about like paying for their passage. We were just like, well, sorry for you guys. Well, we got stuff to do. So.
Slowly backs out the door.
Slowly backs out the door and just leave all these people to their fate.
So that cousin at that spot directed us to another cousin on a city planet.
Yes.
We fly on down to city planet, which, you know, much like, you know, Coruscant is, it's shady.
It's shady, yeah. It was very, I mean, if the whole planet is a city, you got to imagine...
Yeah.
Wait, did we call it City Planet? Is that what its name is? A City Planet?
Well, yeah. I remember it being said that it was a city.
It's a city planet. But I don't know if I ever called it City Planet.
So it is City Planet.
Okay. I mean, sure. It's like it's Nar Shaddaa, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's a moon. It's a planet.
Yeah.
Whatever. It didn't really matter. But anyways, this is where the next cousin lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as we're walking down the street, a new moral conundrum. Happens to be there.
Which I feel like we passed with flying colors.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. So there's these two thugs shaking down a shopkeeper, like it's combination like shop house, you know, like one of those, you know, where he's like, this is his livelihood, you know, and they're shaking him down because they're like, hey, you need to pay us the protection money. And he's like, you know, I already did,
I don't have another, you know, X amount of money to give you. Mm-hmm. I just gave that to you and all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
So there's a couple paths here. They had the options.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just walk past.
Yeah. Instead of walking past this one, Vib decided to, you know,
embrace his heroicisms. That's a joke from last one.
Heroicism.
Yeah, that's a joke from the lost half an episode that you all will never see.
So you should laugh there.
Yeah. Yes. Vib embraces his heroics and you know walks on up there and tries to tell these thugs what's what, and
they were unimpressed.
They were unimpressed, so Vib, you know, just started shooting them, and we had a good old street brawl.
Yeah, we ended up killing these two guys.
Oh, and just straight up murdered these guys in the street in front of everybody.
Yeah. Like it was just out there. It's like, okay, well, I mean, I gotta back him up. You know? Yeah.
Like, Vince just pulled out a blaster and starts shooting.
It was like, if I remember correctly, like, I just, because my character is getting really good at gunslinging at this point, I think I just gunned one of the guys down, like, immediately.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, you know.
Again, they didn't have incredible stats. They weren't meant to, you know, be a trouble. It was, you guys could pay them off. You could talk them away. You could just walk on like nothing happened.
Yeah.
And there would have been a bunch of different situations of what would have happened based on your choice. And you guys decided to kill
them. Our choice was violence.
You chose violence, and that's a good choice.
When the dust began to settle, the shopkeep homeowner was just like, what did you do? I'm so screwed. They're going to kill me. Vib's like, well, you don't have to pay them.
And it's like, well, it's not just these guys. Like, they're part of a large organization. Like, they're gonna come after me. All these people saw what just happened here. Like, they're gonna point at me.
He was like, you think they're gonna believe that I said that I didn't want to have anything to do with it? No, they're gonna be like, he had somebody kill him. And so and Vib's like, well, here's 100 credits. And
go ahead and just buy yourself a taxi off this planet.
He's like, but this is my whole livelihood. This is my house and my business. It is like, well,
slowly back away.
A whole new life out of this.
Yeah. It's like, but Vib's like, you know, Vib was like, I was a hero. I did the hero thing. You know? It's like, yeah, okay, you know, you
technically, you did.
Yeah, it worked. You know, it worked for you.
you did the heroism.
Yeah, the heroisms. So after that, you know,
scuttled off real quick.
Yeah, after we leave that guy with his life in shambles, we see a lady, young lady, turn down an alley, and a young youths.
Those young youths.
You know, just kind of like follow after her, and you know, it just looked like there was gonna be some ne'er do welling happening. You know, some tomfoolery, some shenanigans.
So again, a choice of just keep walking or go down the alley and see what's going on.
And we decided to suss it out, so we turned down the alley and we, you know, we get closer, and then we're like, hey. You know, call out, and they're like, "Hey, you stop harassing the girl," because you know they were playing that they were harassing the girl. Yeah. We saw that
pretending to be harassing the girl so that you guys would be drawn into it.
Yeah,
and so you guys follow down the alley, go up to them, and are like, "Hey, cut that out!" And then they all, like, you know, turn on you and pull blasters out, and you know, daggers, and a bunch of other hooligan friends come out from behind dumpsters and, you know, cardboard boxes.
Yeah, and we just absolutely wreck them.
There wasn't even a conversation. It was just like, haha, you fools, give us all your money. And you guys just, all right, let's roll initiative. Like, not even a, you guys don't want to do this. None of that. Just, let's roll initiative. Let's do it.
Like, all right.
Well, oh, you want to rob me? Well.
So in episode the first, I said it was kind of like, these people just tried to mug Dracula in an alley because we just, like, It was like they had no business dealing with us. We just steamrolled everybody because there was a second wave that came in from
there was a bunch of alleys.
There was four people that more extra people showed up. We just lit them up.
It was a bunch of kids with really just generic person stats. That's,
yeah,
like
yeah. And like
like your gun does 9 damage. They have 6 health. Yeah. You were blasting these little scrawny hoodlums down it was nothing.
And Bastion did
just murdered an alley full of kids.
He didn't feel good about it because he was a street urchin at one point. And he's like, man, this sucks. But given the chance, when I was a kid, I probably would have vibroknifed somebody in the kidney too. So I'm not going to be getting a vibroknife in the kidney now. So I'm blasting these folks.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we tried to do the right thing, and who knows what that was in the situation. Just walking by would have felt bad, But mm-hmm.
Walking by would have felt bad. They probably would have got some other sucker to follow them down the alley, of thing. You guys took care of cleaned up a situation.
Yeah.
Took care of some menaces to society.
Yeah, the
got rid of some menaces to society.
The imaginary citizens of Space City.
Maybe you could have talked them out of their way of their life of crime, but come on, who wants to talk crime?
But after that, we dust ourselves off and make our way to we meet up with Louise. Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Louise.
One of the cousins.
One of the cousins, and he was like, so, yeah, I could let you know this stuff, but you know what? I need you to do a favor for me. And it's just like, come on. Quit doing the RPG thing. Who do you think you are, NPC?
So I need you to take a bath. But first, you're going to need some soap.
So we go to find the soap. No. So he was like, hey, I need these credits from these guys that owe me credits.
Got some deadbeats who owe me a lot of money.
Yeah. So we're like,
that was the line.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we could have walked away and then turned right back around and paid for it. Just be like, we got the money. But
But
it was just like, you know what? I just earned this money. It's my first. I'm new money now.
New money. I just earned this money.
So we end up going to this den of debauchery.
It's another really crappy apartment, in a bad neighborhood, and this is where he's sending you to go get, hey, go to these guys and get my money back.
Yeah, and I believe Dan had made a couple of good rolls when we were trying to get in
voice
the door.
Chat rolls.
Voice chat rolls, yes.
Yes, voice chat rolls, specifically.
So he was voicing and chatting with this guy and managed to convince him to let us in to talk further.
Yeah, to talk about the money that they had borrowed.
Just, we just showed up. They don't know us, and we're like, "Hey, give us the credits that you owe this guy."
They decided to talk to the guy and kind of get in the door so that they could kind of feel out the situation.
And then we did.
And they did. And they get in there. And there's a bunch of guys sitting around on the couch with, there's guns and money and drugs sitting on the coffee table. There's, as they're in there, the front door gets shut behind them. And another big guy walks out of the bathroom. And, they're way outnumbered by a bunch of thugs. And they get in a conversation, rather than just shooting and killing these guys. This time they decided, words this time.
Yeah, we wordsed our way through it.
So you basically had talked to them and figured out they borrowed money from the cousin so that they could do a job. They were getting ready to go do this job, but then Luis the cousin was like, yo, give me my money back now, and they were like, we haven't even had a chance to do anything with it yet, and they were trying to tell you guys that. And you realize we don't care. Give us the money back that he gave you, otherwise it's gonna get messy. And so, again, some good voice chat rolls. They decided that was the best scenario, and they gave you back the money.
Yeah.
And instead of it turning into a bloodbath, it turned out to be a nice situation, which was fortunate because in the other room of this apartment were some kids and a mother.
Yeah.
So, it could have been you guys got in a shootout and killed everybody here and then heard kids crying in the other room kind of thing. So, you know.
So, not murder hobos.
Not murder hobos this time. Uh-huh. Just the other times.
Uh-huh. we proved ourselves capable of not murdering all the hobos.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
So multiple moral conundrums in their path. And they took every possible route they could have, I think.
Yeah, aside from paying, apparently.
Right. Yes. Well, you ignored some people's plight. Yeah. You murdered some people's plight. You know, talked your way through another one. Yeah. Like, there's multiple ways you could.
I would have ignored the guy that was getting the shopkeeper too, but yeah. Somebody was getting heroisms in there.
Uh-huh. had you walked past and left him, he would have been stabbed and killed. So, you know, you actually saved him in a weird way, yeah. But like ruined him, but yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. It's like, well, I guess alive and on the run is better than dead on the. Uh-huh.
Ground.
Yes. So, so that was all. Definitely so not. City plans wrapped up. You got Luis's money back, and went back to him. And we're like, okay, where's Gooser Drew? And he told you, oh, he doesn't live with me anymore. I kicked him out. He's back living on his. He's back living on Trailer Park Planet, and gave you guys his address, and you guys started to head there.
And then
on your way to that place,
We were pulled out of space. I specifically remember you saying we were pulled out of space last time.
You guys got pulled out of space. No.
Didn't get pulled out of hyperspace, just straight out of space.
So as you guys were traveling there, it was nighttime and y'all are sleeping.
Yeah.
And Viv is having some dreams about all the scenarios that had gone down, all the moral conundrums that he'd been placed with, and got to see all the possible outcomes that could have happened from all the choices that could have been made, and just got to see the ever branching possibility tree, I guess.
Yeah, they got to see what would have happened. Yeah, to the refugees.
Got
to
see the what could have happened thing.
They could have gotten passage and then got sold into slavery, or this could have happened and that could have happened.
Yeah,
and
just all kinds
the yep. shopkeep could have got stabbed and dead,
yeah.
Or we could have paid for it, or mm-hmm. you know, just multiple situations.
Yeah, you got to see all the possible outcomes and also the things that you did, and get to see these are all the possibilities of the actions that you take, kind of thing. And after he has this kind of vision dream, he gets up out of bed in a trance-like state and walks towards the front of the ship and is just staring out into space while Bastin's flying, and looks over and is like, what are you doing? And then Vib wakes up. He hears a voice in his head say, find me. And then the ship gets ripped out of hyperspace. It gets ripped out of space. So the ship gets ripped out of hyperspace, and they find themselves in orbit with a rogue planet.
Which is a planet that is not, it doesn't have a solar system. It
doesn't have a solar system. It's just out in the middle of nowhere. Just, yeah. It has lost its inertia. It's just chilling.
Yeah. So it's really dark because there's not a lot of direct sunlight.
And so they find themselves in orbit with this planet, and they have impulse and they have life support systems, but they don't have any, they cannot get the hyperdrive to work. And the only other thing they find in the space is another planet that is... Another ship that is in orbit with the planet.
Our planet's hyperdrive just isn't working.
They decide, let's go check that ship out and see what's going on here. And this is where... do we have squiggles, Dan? Do we have squiggles? Are
There's
we good?
Squiggles.
Can we continue the podcast? Okay. All right. We can continue the podcast. So they make their way over to the ship to see what it's all about. Dock with it. Able to get inside, and they find an old corpse in a cryopod
that is broken.
It's because of the cryopod thing is broken; it's leaking. They find a data pad, and they find a little lockbox. And they're all looking at different things. You know, one person's looking at the corpse, and you know, one person's Rugri's over there reading the data pad, which gives the history of what this ship is. It turns out that it was a Jedi, a ship from the Old Republic. Yeah. So it's been sitting there for thousands of years. And it kind of regales the story of this Jedi Master who was looking for a secret Sith weapon. He had finally found it in the Praxium system and had recovered an orb from the planet after the weapon had wrought destruction on it, and he was going to take it back to Coruscant to study it.
Didn't quite make it.
Didn't quite make it because the planet followed him and sapped all the energy from his ship so he couldn't go into hyperspace. So he decided to put himself into cryo sleep and just await rescue, which clearly never came.
Yeah.
After reading this, they're like, oh, well, let's, you know, look in this lockbox. Yeah. So they pop open the little lockbox, and inside of it is a little black orb. Or while one person's reading it, this, yeah, the other people, Viv is over there looking at the lockbox, pops it open and is like, oh, hey, this little black orb, and goes and picks it up out of there and just gets the most just sickening feeling, just absolute writhing, sickening feeling. And hears the distant echoing screaming and has to do
some kind of will save, or
be a little drained. And he's just like, oh, that's messed up. He's like, Bastion, check this out.
he was like, check out this orb, and hands it to me.
Hands it to
I'm,
him.
And just like, this, I get the same experience, and I'm like, why would you do this to me? It's like when somebody farts and is like, do you smell that? Oh, God.
When you just sniff the gym bag and be like, oh, God, that smells. Here, smell this.
It's like, dude, why?
So Viv has, or Bastion has the same experience.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, God, put that back. And like drops the orb.
Yeah.
So after they have the experience with the orb, they are attacked by spirits.
Yeah.
Some ghostly spirits come out of nowhere and just start attacking the crew. Mm-hmm. The party,
like force wraiths
kind of thing, yeah. And they're slaughtering them with no problem. They're just killing these force wraiths off it's nothing.
So,
Viv is standing there and he's like, guys, what are you so scared of? See, they do nothing. And then one comes up behind him and just sinks claws into him and rips him open, just absolutely shred, rips him open.
And dude, like Bastion. So, like, Bastion, so we did, like fear rolls for touching that, and, like, Bastion was afraid.
Bastion
so, like,
was he absolutely failed. Afraid.
And it worked, like,
Thematically,
because Bastion could, like, I hit every, I shoot, you know, that's my job, I shoot.
Super easy to kill
And I
things.
Couldn't hit anything the entire time, and it was like, well, Bastion.
He's scared of them. He's terrified. Scared.
My dice are role-playing.
Bastion's scared of them ghosts.
Because, like, he wasn't hitting anything, he wasn't doing anything, he did not, basically, just didn't take part in the battle because he was doing so bad and was freaked out. I was like, wow, that worked out well.
you guys kill all these ghosts. They're like, all right, well, that was interesting. And so you're standing around trying to figure out what to do, and then they come attack you again, and you guys got swarmed by some more ghosts, killed all of them. We're like, okay, clearly it has something to do with this orb. We need to get this thing. We need to do something with this. Yeah. So let's just eject it. So they load it up and they eject it out into space and watch this little black orb go floating off into the darkness of space.
Yeah. And then the Force goes to attack
And then
again.
They get attacked again.
It's like,
and it's like, well, that didn't work.
Yeah, Bastion's like, we need to get that thing and figure out what the crap to do.
So they had to go like, scoop it back up.
Yeah.
It's like, and get back control of it. So it was like, you guys follow it around and track it and scoop it up. And you're constantly being attacked by the ghosts while trying to do this.
Yeah. I remember like being like, yelling at Dan, like, what do we do? It's like, this is your stuff. You do the weird stuff.
you deal with the weird stuff. Eventually, they go back to look at the data pad and, like, reread it. And they're like, okay, so he said he took this orb off the planet, and that's why the planet followed him. So maybe we got to go put the orb back on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to fly down into the planet, and it's just... Like, the surface is just nothing but electrical storms, just barren wasteland planet with crazy somebody electrical storms really well. All over the place. Say that. You did land really well. There was
shut up.
And your instruments couldn't detect like what particles were even like making this storm. Yeah. It was nothing that your instruments could read. You just know
fairly
these are crazy supernatural electric storms. It seems to be happening. And the only thing that you really could tell on your readings was like, well, there's a large concentration of energy in this direction on the planet. So let's fly in that direction. So you had to fly through crazy electric storms, made great rolls all the way. And, you know, Bastion's an amazing pilot. Maybe the best pilot in the galaxy. I don't really know.
Yeah.
They get close enough to this area, but then as they get closer, they keep losing power, so they end up having to set down and make the rest of the trip on foot. As they do, they're getting harassed by the ghosts the whole time while they're flying, as they're landed, as they're walking to this concentration of energy. And then finally, they get to where their tricorders were telling them the concentration of energy is.
Oh, yeah, we talked about Picard as well. You missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, we did.
Lost conversation about Picard.
So eventually got to the location of the center of this massive energy field. And it was just a sea of black orbs.
Yeah. I pictured it as a crater. I don't know like if he officially said that, but yeah.
Kind of like a
crater filled
just
with
massive crater that, as far as the eye could see, stretching out to the horizon, just filled with these little black orbs that, you know, fit in the palm of your hand. And to look out upon this and to gaze out upon it just gave them that sickening feeling again, just absolute wretched, terrible feeling. And so they decided, well, maybe we need to put the orb back in there. So Vib pulls out his yellow space highlighter and writes "Vib was here" on the black orb and then chucks it out into the sea of orbs.
Just in case we needed to find it again. You never know.
Yeah. Couldn't have just set it in the sea of orbs. Had to toss it.
Had to toss it. Was like, yeah, well, we need to know which one is ours, though, so we need to mark it.
When we do that.
When you do that, you are no longer harassed by force ghosts. However, the planet begins to rumble and shake, and the electronic storms start to coalesce into a more of a pattern. And the party needs to run back to their ship and do a skills challenge of running.
Skittles
and,
are good.
Yeah, a Skittles challenge of running and survival and all that to get back to their ship. Basically just taking strain and damage along the way. But eventually make it into their ship. They can't take off, though. They can't power up the engine as all the energy on the planet is being
sucked in.
Being sucked in, basically, to... As the the energy start creating like bands around the planet, and they start warping, and the planet is getting ready to go into hyperspace. If you imagine like what the space whales, how they kind of start forming their hyperspace bands before they take off is kind of what was happening. Mm-hmm. And so the planet shoots off into hyperspace with the ship attached to it and the players in the ship, mm-hmm. and it flies all the way to its original place in space.
Where was originally when that Jedi took the orb?
So the Praxium system, which is... Again, they find themselves way out in the western reaches of space, out in the middle of nowhere. And they are on this planet that is in a... There's a black hole now, because the system that this used to be in is so old, there's a black hole now that has formed. And the planet seems to be kind of stuck in space and is not moving. And in orbit of the planet is a massive construct. Looks like a capital ship that has something built onto it.
If you've seen the Starforge from KOTOR, it looks kind
of
like
It looks like somebody took the Starforge and slapped it on the front of a Sith capital ship from the Old Republic era.
Yeah.
And it's pointing at this planet, and it's in orbit of the planet. So naturally, they decide, let's go check out this this giant thing, since
presumably we're not allowed to leave. So,
since we're on this track, I guess we need to go there.
I remember we get on the ship and Vib immediately starts walking in one direction. We're like, we're going to the bridge. And Vib's walking the other way. I don't remember where he was specifically going, but...
Oh, I think it was like Vib, because at some point Vib was like, maybe he heard the voice talking to him again or something.
You guys got on the ship. As soon as you got on the big ship, Vib heard the voice in his head again that says, find me. And so he just starts walking down a hall. You guys are like, wait, where are you going? Like, we need a plan here. We need to even know what the layout of this ship is. Yeah. We're going to the bridge.
Okay.
And so they made their way to the bridge, where they got to review some very old footage of a bunch of Sith admirals and a Sith Lord themselves kind of gathering around for the presentation of this massive weapon that they built, the super weapon that they built. They were able to read on the logs what the weapon was and what it does, and it's called the Soul Collector, and it basically harnesses the energy of living beings and is able to condense it into a little black orb that a then dark side user would be able to siphon and increase their power. So to do this, they had to round up all living beings on the planet into one location and then pointed the weapon at the planet and fired, and they got to watch the video of this happen. A giant beam hits the planet and...
Orbs people.
Just orbs a bunch of people. And then after a little while, they're reading through the other logs that say, like, after this happened, the planet seemed to have shot off into hyperspace. They don't know why or what happened, but they seem to be stuck in time and space and can't move. And as the black hole popped open and started ripping everything else, and they were just stuck in space.
So yeah, we got to see the collective soul.
You got to see the soul collector happen and collect the soul.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, cool. So we're done here.
But Vib does fine.
Again, heard the voice as you guys were walking back to the... you're walking back to your ship because you're like, well, what else to do here? Heard the voice again, but he heard it in a direction from a hallway telling him to find me again. And he's like, oh, let's go down this way. Mm-hmm. And starts walking towards the direction of the front of the capital ship, which would be where the construct weapon is.
Yeah.
So they actually walk into the weapon area and start walking around there and get to see its impressiveness.
Yeah. And we eventually come to, like, this circle chamber. And we're, you know, observing, you know, the chamber. And Vib just keeps walking forward. And he walks down a hallway that only he can see.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, it looks like he just walked through a wall. So, you know, we're trying to be like
little Skeet is walking, like following him along, and Vib walks through a wall, and Skeet just
little astromech
is like bonks into the wall, and is like, what the heck? I'm just like trying to get through the wall, can't go through.
And Vib can't go backwards as
well. You know, so. Vib turns around, he can see, like, Vib can see through the wall. It's like translucent, so he can see the party there, but he can't go through, and they can't.
I want to go to the party.
They can't hear him, but he can hear them. You know, one of those one-way mirror kind of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
After which, the party got attacked by dark side dogs, force dogs, right?
Yeah, and...
I think it was the Force Dogs first.
Yeah.
So, like, just some dark hounds, like, they were...
Spectral hounds.
Spectral hounds, yeah. Very, like, ghostly, spectrally, whatever.
Yeah, they're hounds of sorts. They're in the book. Yeah,
they're in the book somewhere. Yeah, dark hounds, and mm-hmm. they started attacking the party. As they do, Vib hears the voice again, and there's a little floating light ball behind him, and he turns around and he is greeted by this little ball of light, and it begins to talk to him, and beckons him forth to follow him along, and you know. Follow him down this hallway. And so Vib has to leave his friends behind while they're fighting to go talk to talk to a man about a space wallaby, I think is what the joke was.
Yeah, I'll believe that is, but I had to go talk to a man about a space wallaby.
So while he's doing that, we're fighting off the hounds, and we successfully fight off the hounds.
Yeah.
But once the hounds are dead,
ooh,
a Sith spectral dragon shows up.
It's called a Hassis, like HSSISS.
Okay,
is what it was called, but I've never heard of it before. But anyways, a Hassis dark dragon.
Yeah.
Dark side dragon.
And that was my first time experiencing somebody using the force against me.
So, yeah, so this massive dragon pops out. So yeah. I got to use a dragon mini. Woo!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Star Wars.
It
immediately comes out and just starts using dark side powers to siphon health from people.
It attacked Rugri, and then after that it did the siphon, and I was like, but I have dodge and stuff, and it was just
Doesn't matter.
No, I just get to do it. And I was like, but my health.
Yeah, this is the very first time I've used the force as the GM against the party. Mm-hmm. And oh boy, it's powerful.
Yeah, it already felt broke with
with one of our players using it, but man, like to use it against the party was like, oh wait, I don't have to worry about your armor values or anything. I just say you lose this much health, deal with it. Like, oh boy.
Yeah. As a it was the most vulnerable I felt as a character so far. It was like even the one time where I got shot and I was alive on one health, I was like, I still felt like I had some agency there.
Yeah.
This one was just like, you lose 4 health. And I'm like, but that's a third of my health. It's like, I can't dodge it, and you could just do it twice more?
Yes.
So while we're getting harassed.
They're getting harassed. The voice, the little orb of light was leading Vib down a hallway, and finally they get into another circular room with three more hallways, three archways. And they stand in the middle of this room, and the orb continues to talk to Dan with Clint doing a bunch of different voice modulation. And it explains to Vib, well, asks him some questions first off, you know, about like, do you even know what the force is? Do you know what's happening with you? How best do you think that you can help your friends? All kinds of things like that. And then goes on to explain the force and what it is, what the Jedi and Sith were. Kind of gives him, you know, gives him that nice history of all the things so that he knows what's going on with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut back and forth between, you know, the players are fighting and Vib is having this conversation
and then
back to the fight, back to the conversation. And he's presented with three choices. You can take and, I drew Vib a picture for this that had three different hallways. You know, one is crumbled and decayed and very dark. The one in the middle is very neutral, and the one on the right has, you know, green ivy growing around it and is all, you know, much lighter colored stone. And so your three choices are, you could, the voice gives Vib the options to go down the dark hallway. Basically, choose to be a Sith Lord. You can take control of the weapon, the Sith super weapon construct, absorb the power of the soul orbs, and gain a bunch of dark side power. You can go down the right side of the hallway. You can release the soul orbs. You can release the souls from the orbs. And destroy the Sith weapon, and you would basically be a Jedi and bask in the light. Or you can walk down the middle hallway and do nothing and just leave this place as it is. Cut back to the fight scene for a couple rounds, and this dragon is just waylaying on the party and like almost killing people, knocking people down to pretty low health pools. And so we took a little out of game time to explain to Dan what the actual consequences of these choices were, and he was like, well, I really kind of want to go down the Jedi one and be a healer, be like go all down the Jedi healing path. But eventually he decided that he was going to go down the neutral gray path in the center. That was your choice. I know you don't remember this, but you know, this is what you chose.
Yeah, I believe you. I feel like it's probably more fitting for Vib's character to go down to do neither.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vib is neither
a Sith powerful Sith Lord or a
goody two shoes Jedi,
yeah.
benevolent Jedi. Yeah, yeah. So like, you know, yeah.
The way I look at it is like Vib would like, yeah, I'll take the power, but Vib's also he's not power hungry, but he's also not like, but he considers himself a good guy. You know, he's like, I'm a good guy. I do good things, whether value that's true or not, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on that. I'm just saying that rhetorically at this moment. Bastin would do that. He would cast aspersions. But so, like, he fancies himself a good guy. So it's like, it definitely felt in character for him to go down the center. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was coupled with the. So think about all the choices you just made. You just had, you know, this whole experience about choices that you make can lead to a bunch of different outcomes. And so you chose to do nothing in this case, or what seemed to be the do nothing. And so he was like, okay, yeah, follow me down the center hallway. And as you guys are as Vib was walking down the center hallway, he could see translucently into the other hallways as alternate versions of himself walk down into the other rooms. And you know, one siphons the energy and gets a dark side lightsaber and has to fight an alternate a light side version of himself. And then he looks over to the other side. Same thing happens, but from the other perspective. And instead, you know, as those fade off into nothingness, he enters into another circular room where the light orb takes the ghostly form of the Bendu. The Bendu, the one in the middle. And this is where so the whole point of this was, a Jedi teacher gives you more perks for a Jedi player. So Vib needed some way to have some sort of force mentor, force teacher thing. And this was my way to give him one. And what better gray Jedi force mentor than the Bendu, was my thought.
Yeah, it was great.
So he got to have a conversation with the Bendu. The Bendu showed him how he could construct a lightsaber and gave him a force crystal, gave him a kyber crystal. As he chose, as Vib chose the middle path, the dark side dragon dissipates into nothing.
Which is good because it was probably going
to wreck us. It was about to kill these guys.
Because we were doing like 2 damage on each shot. So
it dissipates into nothing and the hallway opens up that Vib walked through and they could see. So they walked through it and rejoin Vib and they also get to see Bendu, giving his final farewells to Vib, you know, like you can contact me, you know, in meditation times and commune with me and all that.
Call me.
But you know, here's a crystal and, you know how to make a lightsaber. Now you just need to find somebody who knows how to make one. Luckily, you know somebody, and they're in need of your help, is what he told you.
Yeah.
All right, bye-bye. So he fades off into nothing. And everything fades to white. And the party is back in space before where they would have got ripped out of space hyperspace from the This time you guys did get ripped out of space and put back into space in a different space in space.
So technically kind of true.
So everything
I was thinking
fades
that the first time around, but I didn't want to spoil the
Yeah, you guys did kind of get ripped out of space from space and put in space. All right. And so you guys were back in, you know, back where you started kind of, and you're like, "Well, what the heck was all of that?" Except on the floor in between you all is a data pad and a stack of cash.
Yeah.
And you're all fully healed and feel fine.
It was all a dream, but kind of not.
It was all a dream, but kind of not. Was Goose or Drew ever real? We don't know.
That was the wild Goose or Drew. Why not?
That was the wild Goose or Drew. Goose or Drew. It was, it was part of the journey for Vib to get a lightsaber. So then now they're standing here. We're like, well, wait, so we have the data pad and we have money. We could go back to Bargos. But what did he mean by there was people that need our help? And so they all start talking and thinking about it. And they have the realization.
Well, yeah, it was just like, well, the only person that I know that has, like, technical experience that we left behind was Ramesk on the planet that, with the...
You guys crash-landed on.
Yeah, we crash-landed on.
And then we were like, oh, yeah, there were all those people that we, like,
that
left
we
behind.
We totally told them we'd come back for them.
We told them that somebody would come back for them.
And Saw committed to coming back... But Saw is Saw, so he got distracted by somebody jingling some car keys in front of him. So we returned to Saw, and we're like, hey, cool, you can have your U-Wing back. We're taking our ship now.
Did you ever go pick up those people that we were prisoners with, that we got, you know, crashed on that planet? Yeah, they're stranded there?
We didn't get to talk to Saw this
time. You didn't get to talk to Saw because as soon as you guys showed up, everybody was gone. All the renegades were gone. They were off on mission. Saw was running around barking out orders. And as soon as you guys land, he's like, where have you been? Where's my ship? I need it.
It's right there. We're taking ours. Sorry. We're taking ours. You can have your U-Wing. We're done. Cool. And then we talked to Two Tubes and we're like, hey, did you guys...
Two Tubes is the calm, stable one that you guys have to talk to after Saul does his crazy Saulness.
Yeah, so we're like, hey, did you ever go back and pick those people up? And he was like, heck no.
Heck no, we forgot.
So we're like, well, we should go do that. So
we should go rescue those peoples.
And that's...
That's where they are now. So they decided to go back to rescue these people, and that's where we are now. They are currently currently back to the start, attempting to rescue these people from the planet that they crashed on.
There was like 14 people that were left there.
Yeah,
Lord of the Flies scenario, the strongest took over and they're lording it over the flies. That's how that book went, right?
Yes.
Lording it over the less strong people. Like four of them have escaped and are living in like a cave nearby.
We can get into all that in the future because that's the end of this chapter,
it is the end of this chapter. The only funny thing that I want to include is that you guys like met up with Ramesk in a cave.
Yeah.
You saved him, and he was like, "Oh well, you know, he's giving the layout of the base, and you know, telling you the situation that the strong guy took over and is enslaving the others." And he's like, "Well, to attack this place, you know, without a plan would be stupid. So like, let's come up with a bunch of different plans." And whatever the best plan is, we will then go with that plan.
Yeah. We'll use these dice to simulate whether you attack or defend. So like he basically
I gave you guys a bunch of stats, and I have a bunch of little miniatures that represent you guys, and we're gonna play it out. And he starts, you know, scratching in the sand a layout of the base.
Yeah, it's like, and so you've been out here for a while, haven't you?
And so the party right now is playing Star Wars RPG in Star Wars RPG. pat myself on the back for that one. I thought I was pretty clever. So, right. Yeah, so yeah. We're caught up. Now that is caught up.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it.
Vib still doesn't have a lightsaber. Not yet.
No, despite bringing it up.
Despite hounding.
Like every conversation.
Ramask the Baba every time.
It's like every time. He's like, just
dude,
like,
you got my lightsaber. He's like, dude, we're stranded on a planet in the middle of nowhere. What are you even talking about?
And like, when Ramask is like, yeah, dude, those guys, they took over the camp and we really would like, and Vib's like, so could you make me a lightsaber? He's like,
what are you talking about?
Like, could you? We were in the middle of a conversation about this camp, and it was just, and so he goes on, and then, just Bib keeps bringing it back down to that. It's just like, hey, could you make me a lightsaber?
And so maybe at some point we will play this game more. And we will have gotten to a point where we feel that we could fill another full episode or two full of content. And hopefully you enjoy listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we'll
indeed.
Start talking about nothing next week.
We're going to go back to talking about nothing.
I think we're due for a math episode.
We're due for things. We are going back to normal episodes after this one. So, if you even listened to this point or listened to the episode at all. Here's us telling you that it's back to normal next week.
So we will also potentially, by the time next time we record, have a Fit West Scrub winner to guest on our cast,
and we'll also have scrub down
stuff
about.
That is also true. Yes. So we'll have stuff to talk about next time.
So next time we record, we'll be talking about scrub down thing and drawing the winner name for the thing, and
perhaps even have the winner on. Maybe I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll see what happens.
But, so they'll. This will come out on Thursday. Friday is the deadline for points. For points, it'll be like Friday at 7 p.m. If points were to change,
that we would still use
that
for the scrub down.
I like Wild West.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people seem to be pro chaos, we're going with the pro chaos route.
If it's before 7 p.m. on Friday, we'll do that. Uh-huh. If any rules changes happen, like there's a new scenario, we're probably not going to do that because I'm the marshal and I don't want to have to learn it, and I don't want you guys to have to learn it either.
Well, a new scenario would be silly. I mean, if there's some other kind of minor points changes, whatever, or not points, but
there's
rules
like a major
changes,
rules
whatever,
change
but like,
thing that maybe will, yeah.
I don't expect that.
Yeah,
though.
I don't
like,
expect it.
I don't expect that to happen.
You will be appraised.
if you are not registered and you plan on going, or if you would like to go, please register. We have a blog on how to do, how to sign up, but it'll be on rollbetter.gg. rollbetter.gg, under the scrub down, and you just have to, I was about to say, email us money, kind of.
It's PayPal us money.
PayPal, and we got so many prizes. Like, we've got most of the ships painted, and I'll be posting those, so you'll probably see
by the time this episode comes out, you'll probably have seen some of the ship.
I've only posted one at this point, things. But we'll have probably all of them painted, posted at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then lightsaber grand prize, first 32 to register get Midwest Scrub challenge coins and
cookies,
tons of cookies.
Only first 32 to register for the cookies, though.
Only.
On Sunday there will be a Legacy 2.0 tournament.
Little side event for those who don't make the top cut.
Yeah, and if you scrub out of the top cut, you get a buy for the first round of the legacy thing.
I suppose at this point, so we have. We have more than 32 or more than 32 registered at this point, I think. So
spots
are
selling out fast, so reserve yours today.
Well, no, that was not my point. My point was, I think we have enough to justify a top 16 cut, probably. I don't know that we ever, really talked about, I guess we're going to do it. Had we had too few people, I would have said maybe we would go with top 8 instead. Yeah. But, given that we have a decent amount of people, I think,
If we hit 40,
justified.
We'll definitely do it.
For sure.
We're at 35 right now.
Yeah, so
something like that.
I imagine within the week, probably 5 will trickle in.
Mm-hmm.
GSP will be streaming, so if you're not
tune
coming.
In, yeah.
So if you're not coming, you can tune in. Uh-huh, if you are coming, you could tune in.
Yeah, that's true. Don't stream snipe if you're on stream.
Yeah, so they
will
actually
see, they will see you looking at your cell phone watching GSP while on GSP.
right. So, and actually, I believe there's supposed to be two streams to watch. Mini Market is supposed to also they've been doing some streaming stuff, you know, on their, they have their own channel now or whatever. So I believe that they will be also streaming games. So we'll have two different options of games you can watch on Saturday / I guess also on Sunday probably. I don't know what their plan is, but
we are at 35. All
right. 35. Okay, but great. Yeah, great. Yeah, so that's probably, we should end up with enough then for a top 16 cut. Yeah, probably
we'll have swag bags. There's prizes for there's plenty of door prizes. There will be just like last year, there will be the door prize where we pull like four names per round so everybody can grab from the prize table, and it's they're all good prizes. It's just a matter of whether it's first come first serve, just so we can, it's not like a mad dash of 30 people to a table at the same time.
Indeed.
And then I mean top 16 prizes, top 8 prizes, top 4 prizes, top 2 prizes, it's, you know, and then the final prize. And yeah, it, we'd love to see you, and we'd love to give you stuff. So show up.
Show up for stuff and things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
There will probably be beer trunk, because that's how we do things. Cookies, like we've said. And
as long as the weather's good. Well, I don't know. It was raining last year.
Yeah,
we were out in beer trunking, so yeah. Like it's happening.
Yeah. I did not get to go to beer trunk at all. I didn't know the status of it because I was marshaling the entire time.
Yeah, but like,
oh yeah, do you still have your scar or your sash, your marshal sash?
I will be fancy sash Matt Carey.
Very good, very good.
At the scrub down.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Alrighty.
So, love to see you there. Most of you will be like it. At this point, by the time you hear this, the FitWest scrub will be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people in Australia are already done. True. While we're recording.
Yep.
But, you know, hey, we're happy you participated, because like participation was way up this year. Like it
seems like it goes up just every
time. Well, I don't know that we're like way up per se, but like it feels like every time we do this, we get a few more people joining in, people who haven't done it before joining in and doing it. And that's, you know, that's neat. And participation has also been up in the sense that we had one person complete over 4,000
minutes.
Now, in that sense, that's an up, yes, that's an upness, a whole different kind of upness of participation.
Yeah. That's nutty.
He spent nearly a full day working out.
24 hours out of the month of April. No, that was just on one. No, it was more than that, but that was just on one activity. So I think if that doesn't make sense. So if he spent 10% of his,
he almost spent 10% or almost.
Okay, 10% of 30 days, even if it wasn't quite 10%, 10% of 30 days is 3 days, Dan.
4,000 minutes, you said. So 4,000 minutes is 2.778 days.
Okay.
So over 48 hours of scrubbing.
It's been established I don't math.
Fair enough. I mean, you're not the guest we're bringing on for the math cast, so.
No, not at all.
All right, well, but happy to have you participate. Very proud of you. That's all I got.
We hope everyone enjoyed,
exercising.
We hope you enjoy exercising. But we also hope that you all enjoyed the camaraderie of, of doing it together for a whole month. So, alrighty. I think we're good.
Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell.
Ding, ding.
Comment below. Fight in the comments. Arguing about things.
Yeah.
Indeed. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hello, boyo.
Excuse me. Sit back.
Are you brainless?
No, not really, no.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Don't do that again. Many Gungans will be killed.
Ah. Support is...
Well said.